So, quick update. Last Monday was the City Planning Commission's meeting, and we went to that meeting. John was able to make it, but we went to that meeting and had hopes of being heard and the concerns about the new ordinance in Olathe, at least them waiting on voting on it. We weren't asking for whether it was a good or a bad ordinance. We just wanted them to wait. And as a quick update, what it is it's an ordinance in the city of Olathe that specifically is for crisis care networks and host congregations that provide a space for crisis care networks. And the ordinance says that it would limit to really six individuals or families that can stay inside a church for up to 5 days as a response to people who are who need a crisis care network. They don't use the word homeless on purpose because they aren't talking about homeless shelters. That's a different part of the ordinance. But people who need shelter in the winter because it's cold. And in essence, what it's done is limited any church to just keeping people 5 days and only families or women, no single adult males. And so the concerns that we shared were not really heard by the Planning Commission. It was very interesting to see Tim Suttle, one of the pastors that I know, stood up to speak. He was the first pastor that spoke. And before he was done, the chair of the commission said to him, "You've made your point." And this is his 5 minutes. And he just said, "You've made your point." And then he asked the planning commissioner, or the city planner, to respond to his concerns. And of course, she had time to just answer every one of his concerns that she felt like she needed to. But then Tim couldn't say, "But let me clarify, this is what I'm saying." It was done. So time after time, the comments were, we were told to keep it short and not to repeat ourselves. And it was not really very well received. The city did vote to go ahead and move that on to the city council. And so now a group of us are just going to meet in this coming week or so to try and figure out what do we need to do to, again, now go to the city council meeting, be a little bit more organized since we'll have a little bit more time to prepare. And but ultimately, none of the concerns were answered. And so that's what happened. And that's what we're doing next. Just going to try and get in front of the city council with the same concerns and doing that. So that's the update on that. Be in prayer for that. Be in prayer for just our city to slow down and help us thoughtfully figure out what to do with people that are in our community in the middle of winter, that live here in Olathe or in Johnson County, but don't necessarily have a safe place to stay when it's cold in Johnson County. And so that's what we're asking. Any questions? John, do you have anything to add? You were there. Terry was there too. I'm sorry. Terry was there too.
There is a video available of that?
Yeah.
It would be a good idea, I think, to make sure that our city council people see that part of the video before the city council meeting, and because it was rather obvious that they were just going to roll over us.
Sarah was there, too. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
It's very long.
It was very long. They had us at the very end of the meeting. And there were people that were talking about exterior wall coverings for 45 minutes, and nobody said anything about keeping their comments short. But once
and
it got to us.
They didn't say anything about repeating anybody, not repeating anybody else.
Yeah, they were all salespeople for this wall covering. And
gave their full 5 minutes, 10 even. One of them, they didn't.
You gotta know how to paint things beige properly, man.
Yeah, you do. So, I'll keep you updated. And all right, I'll try and lighten the mood.
Yay.
Did
something positive about Jesus?
You know, after I have to be honest, after 10 years of being here in the same setting and talking regularly on Sundays, sometimes I don't know. Have we talked about Pet Rocks? Mm-mm. Have we ever talked about Pet Rocks?
We talked about rocks one time. We had a rock.
Oh, that's right.
But that was for building a memorial, right? That was for, you know, I was talking about walking through the river and picking up stones.
Yeah.
The stones of remembrance. I remember that sermon.
I got that.
But look at that. But we haven't talked about, I don't think we've talked about, did anybody in here, would they admit, in 1975, this is when this craze hit, this guy, Dahl, was the marketer that came up with this, and do you remember these? They had little cardboard boxes, holes punched in the side of the box, as if it was a living man.
Not in 75, I had it a few years later when I was like 3, 4.
Okay, so you were just latecomer. That's okay. That was good.
He was born in 75, so.
Yeah, so you're just a little latecomer. That's all right. That's all right.
I had rock collections of Pet Rocks at my grandma's house. She was so angry about it.
They're coming back. Jesse has one.
You have a Pet Rock?
Yeah, we should put a little springy thing on.
Well, I was too. My parents said there's. I mean, I was 10 years old, so my parents had. Very specific. You are not paying $4 for a rock.
Oh no, we made our own. We didn't buy it.
You are not paying $4 for a rock. Make your own box. Take a milk carton home from school. Make your own box. You are not paying $4 for a rock.
Yeah, we did.
And so I had a pet rock. I had a pet rock. Anybody else willing to admit they had a pet rock? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Jazzy has one now. That's 4. That's all right. You can admit that. You can admit that. I had a pet rock.
We're trendsetters. It's fine.
It was, yeah. And it's one thing to carry a piece of river rock in your pocket. That's just, you know, something. It's a worry stone or something that you just, you know, hold or something. No, these were pet rocks. We named them. And you were supposed to take them out for walks. And you were supposed to... Yeah, they were pet rocks. This, Sarah, you've got to understand, 1975, they would watch TV with us. We had our favorite shows. There were no devices like this. I didn't have video games at home that I played. We were poor children that had rocks for pets.
Then the California Raisins came out at
Hardee's. Yeah, and then the California Raisins.
I still have those. I have.
Now, I do have California Raisins.
Do you? I didn't get any of those either. I was really deprived. It was having two parents who were adult educators who thought, this is not going to help you mature. But so sometimes, for me, that idea of that pet rock was this thing that I could take with me and... It wasn't going to die. It was my buddy. My pet rock. Even at 10 years old, my pet rock. I didn't want pet sand. You know, pet sand blows away. It'll sift through your pocket. You know, nobody wants pet sand. You want a pet rock. Because the rock was like this idea of stability. The rock's not going anywhere. It will always be there. So... I thought one of the most important things in my pet rock was that it was a good friend. And I know, it's silly to think of a rock as a friend. I was kind of a weird kid. But I outgrew that rock. Obviously, I do not still carry it around. It's not in my pickup truck. I don't even know. They're gone. I don't know what happened to them, whether I buried them or they just got lost. But I outgrew my rock. But I still had this idea of what it takes to be a good friend, a rock in my life. Somebody who I can count on. Somebody who I know won't just blow away at the first sign of trouble or wind. Somebody who is with me. So I started reflecting on some of those qualities of what makes a good friend. And I found a lot of them in Proverbs. And I thought I would talk this morning about three of them. But before I do, my question to you is, what makes a good friend? What makes a good friend for you? Reliable. Okay?
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy.
So what makes you a good friend?
What makes for a good friend?
Loyalty.
Yeah.
Tough honesty sometimes.
Honesty,
yeah. Honesty. Huh?
Inclusion?
Yeah.
Okay. Including you. What else?
Fighting and still being friends later.
Fighting and still being friends later.
Resilience,
ability to forgive.
And you don't like it, but you need to hear it.
Yep.
Someone that loves you regardless of your good or bad. They love you regardless.
Yep. Somebody who will love you regardless. Huh?
God.
Having faith. Faith in common. Sharing that faith. I think that's a part of just the forgiveness part, the part of honesty, being able to share that faith.
Trust. It has to come back to your side, be able to trust them. Even if the person has shown all those characteristics and attributes and proven themselves and been there with you, sometimes our ability to trust makes us able to accept a person as a good friend.
Okay.
Sometimes that becomes a barrier.
Trust. Trust. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. The proverb says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Friendship, it loves. The qualities of love that a friendship has, I think, is all of these qualities that we've mentioned. We recognize that love, even unconditional love, that doesn't mean that love always gives in. There are times that love stands up for what's right or stands up for what needs to change. But a friend loves at all times. And as we talk through these, reflect not on just, am I a good friend, but who are my friends? Who are my friends? But a friend loves at all times. They're willing to give of themselves, to put others' interests before their own, or at times to assert their interests or their concerns in trust and respect, but assert those in such a way that it may cause an argument. You may disagree. But that's an important part of good friendship. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for a time of adversity. So more than just being able to love in the fair weather, but love when things are difficult. Maybe that's the harder part of friendship. It's one thing to love you and to be your friend when our lives are easy together. It's a far other thing to love and to be a friend in the midst of adversity. What happens when we get into adversity? What do we start doing? We start accusing the other person, or we start accusing the situation. I mean, we talk about this all the time with our clients in stages of change. That before they want to change themselves, everybody else is the problem. The reason I'm here is because of you. I was with a group of teenagers just the other day, and in the class, I was saying, "What's stopping you from getting to your goals?" And they said, "You and the system. All you adults, you're the ones that are stopping me from getting to my goals." Yep, nothing I can do for you right now. There's nothing I can do. I can be consistent, but ultimately you have to be the one to say, maybe, maybe there's something that I can do. But a friend sticks through that adversity. A friend is willing to walk with someone even when they cannot see the error in their own ways. Because friendship is born for adversity. That's why we have friendships. Not every friend will be that way. Proverbs 27, verses 5 through 6. The proverb says, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Better an open wound, or better an open rebuke than hidden love. It is better, and here's what this proverb is telling us. It is better to hear out loud someone chastise, rebuke, or correct you than to simply have them privately love you. Why? Because that private love ultimately will not support you and will not help you change when you've done something wrong. But an open rebuke will. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you that it is hard for me to have friends who will openly rebuke or correct me. But if I'm honest, and if I can just take a moment to step outside of myself, I know that there have been times in my own life when I have made decisions or I have done things that have been wrong. Not just wrong morally, we've all done that, but I'm talking thinking I made the right decision. It was still the wrong thing to do at that time. And I've made those mistakes in my life. And someone has had to call me out for it. And what did I do? I got defensive. No. I think it's okay. It's not that big a deal. I got defensive. Or I didn't want to hear it. No, don't talk to me about it. This isn't a good time. I don't really want to hear those corrections. The whole point of God's discipline in our lives is to redeem us. This is the danger that we get to when we talk about God's discipline in our lives. That some people, and it's a fine line, but some people look at God's discipline and God think and use the word that God punishes us. I think punish and discipline are two different acts. Punishment is an action in which the individual doing the action is taking out their frustrations, their aggression, their displeasure in a situation, and they choose to punish another one. However, correction or discipline is designed to instruct and to correct bad behaviors. Recruits in the military will often feel punished by a drill sergeant, but a drill sergeant understands that discipline is hard. Learning discipline is hard, and it won't feel good. But ultimately, learning that level of discipline will be productive and keep people safe. It's the same thing from what I've heard from people in recovery. Discipline in recovery is important, but it always has to be something that provides for correction and change. There is an invitation to new life, new decisions, not just suddenly being ostracized because someone has fallen in their recovery. I think it's the same thing for us with our friendships and for us as we offer friendship. To punish someone because they do wrong isn't what we as friends do, but to offer corrective discipline, that's okay. That's hard to do as a friend. I'm not always comfortable saying to a friend, I think you made a mistake. But it's an important part of friendship. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. And the wounds from a friend can be trusted. So there's two parts to this proverb. I as a friend and other friends should be willing to give an open rebuke when corrected. But then the one who's being rebuked, listen to this, should understand that a wound from a friend can be trusted. That's hard. To be wounded by someone and be corrected by someone and trusting that correction. It's hard to trust it when it hurts. But that is an important part of receiving friendship, not just being a good friend. And one of my favorite ones is Proverbs 27 in verse 17. And I've used this a lot with many of my friends. And I'll be honest, I don't have a whole lot of really close friends. It's just the way I am. There are people I know that have a lot of close friends. They think nearly everybody they know is a close friend. I wasn't looking at Paul. I knew better. I don't have a whole lot of close friends. People that I honestly feel like I can trust. And even know that their wounds can be trusted. Proverbs 27:17 simply says, as iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Part of the reminder for this is friendship is reciprocal. Iron sharpening iron. That image comes from two pieces of metal, one hardened and one softer. But both pieces work together. We know how that works. You take a kitchen knife and you put it next to an iron filing or sharpening rod, and it brings the edge back to that knife. Why? Because the iron in the knife is a little bit softer than the iron on that sharpening rod. But you know that eventually even the sharpening rod wears down. They are both taking a little bit of metal off each other. Iron sharpens iron. It happens that way in the world, but it happens that way in friendships. One of my own stories of that is Phil Kreiling, who was my mentor at first. He was the guy who led me to Christ and part of that. And he was my first youth pastor when I was a college student. And I got my first taste of leadership with him. And there were a few times he said, I remember, and I've shared this story, I know, but it's just a good reminder. I remember the very first story or the very first sermon I did. And you guys, I still have the note cards from this in my hope chest at home. I still have them. So someday the girls will go through it and they'll go, what? I remember Dad talking about this. So I still have the note cards. I was in philosophy class in college. And I did a whole sermon on the allegory in the cave. And I equated that with our coming to understand who Jesus is. This increasing understanding of light. That it's not about reason. It's about being and learning who Christ is. But I was coming at this from a debater and from this guy in philosophy class. And at the end, I was super excited about how it went. And Phil stood up at the end of the sermon, and he did this after every sermon I did since. And he explained what I said. And then later I said to him in his office, I said, did that go okay? And he said, it was probably over everybody's head. But I'm proud of you for making the effort. He was my mentor at that point. Today, we still reach out and talk. He came by the other day with a small grant for the work that we're doing with the College of Trades. And as he did, he sat down and he asked me questions about ministry and about what we're doing and about how the program's going. And he said, I need to have you connect to somebody because they're looking to do similar things. And he sees me now as a peer in ministry. And we can have really frank conversations. Iron sharpens iron. It doesn't run away from the conflict. We don't have pet rocks as we grow up. We don't need those. But we still need rocks in our lives. We still need people who are stable. Still need people who we can push on and who can push back. We still need people who, like my little pet rock, will love me no matter what. And I know that pet rock had no emotions, but you understand what I'm saying. Are you a good friend? Are you the kind of metal in another person's life that makes them sharper? And do they do the same for you? Are you willing to love at all times, even when your friends are unlovable? Are you willing to live through adversity with them? Do you have friends who are willing to challenge you? And do you have friends who you would trust that challenge when it came your direction? My whole point for today is just that we are people who rely on that level of relationship and transparency with God, but God has placed us in communities to have that with each other. May we be good friends and be a stone of reliability, a rock in the lives of other people, as they have been rocks for us.